Chapter 41.
Nora Manger stood at the extraction shaft beside Tolland, Rachel, and Corky and stared into the pitch-black meteorite hole.
"Mike," she said, "you're cute, but you're insane. There is no bioluminescence here."
Tolland now wished he'd thought to take some video. While Corky had gone to find Nora and Ming, the bioluminescence had begun fading rapidly. Within a couple of minutes, all the twinkling had simply stopped. Tolland threw another piece of ice into the water, but nothing happened. No green splash.
"Where did they go?"
Corky asked. Tolland had a fairly good idea. Bioluminescence, one of nature's most ingenious defense mechanisms, was a natural response for plankton in distress. A plankton sensing it was about to be consumed by larger organisms would begin flashing in hopes of attracting much larger predators that would scare off the original attackers. In this case, the plankton, having entered the shaft through a crack, suddenly found themselves in a primarily freshwater environment and bioluminesced in panic as the fresh water slowly killed them.
"I think they died."
"They were murdered," Nora scoffed. "The Easter Bunny swam in and ate them."
Corky glared at her.
"I saw the luminescence too, Nora."
"Was it before or after you took LSD?"
"Why would we lie about this?" Corky demanded.
"Men lie."
"Yeah, about sleeping with other women, but never about bioluminescent plankton."
Tolland sighed. "Nora, certainly you're aware that plankton do live in the oceans beneath the ice."
"Mike," she replied with a glare, "please don't tell me my business.
For the record, there are over 200 species of diatoms that thrive under Arctic ice shelves. 14 species of autotrophic nanoflagellates, 20 heterotrophic flagellates, 40 heterotrophic dinoflagellates, and several metazoans, including polychaetes, amphipods, copepods, euphausids, and fish. Any questions?"
Tolland frowned. "Clearly you know more about Arctic fauna than I do. And you agree there's plenty of life underneath us. So why are you so skeptical that we saw bioluminescent plankton?"
"Because, Mike, this shaft is sealed. It's a closed, freshwater environment. No ocean plankton could possibly get in here."
"I tasted salt in the water," Tolland insisted. "Very faint, but present. Salt water is getting in here somehow."
"Right," Nora said skeptically. "You tasted salt. You licked the sleeve of an old sweaty parka, and now you've decided that the pod's density scans and 15 separate core samples are inaccurate."
Tolland held out the wet sleeve of his parka as proof.
"Mike, I'm not licking your damn jacket."
She looked into the hole.
"Might I ask why droves of alleged plankton decided to swim into this alleged crack?"
"Heat?"
Tolland ventured. "A lot of sea creatures are attracted by heat. When we extracted the meteorite, we heated it. The plankton may have been drawn instinctively toward the temporarily warmer environment in the shaft."
Corky nodded.
"Sounds logical."
"Logical."
Nora rolled her eyes.
"You know, for a prize-winning physicist and a world-famous oceanographer, you're a couple of pretty dense specimens. Has it occurred to you that even if there is a crack, which I assure you there is not, it is physically impossible for any seawater to be flowing into this shaft?"
She stared at both of them with pathetic disdain.
"But, Nora," Corky began. "Gentlemen, we're standing above sea level here."
She stamped her foot on the ice.
"Hello? This ice sheet rises 100 feet above the sea. You might recall the big cliff at the end of this shelf. We're higher than the ocean. If there were a fissure into this shaft, the water would be flowing out of this shaft, not into it. It's called gravity."
Tolland and Corky looked at each other.
"Shit," Corky said. "I didn't think of that."
Nora pointed into the water-filled shaft.
"You may also have noticed that the water level isn't changing."
Tolland felt like an idiot. Nora was absolutely right. If there had been a crack, the water would be flowing out, not in.